Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with the Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, visit BetterHelp.com/stuff today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/stuff.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and there's Charles W. Chuck Bryant, and there's Jerry Jerome Rowland over there. And this is Stuff You Should Know.
For a second there, I thought you said Jerry the Drone Rowland.
Yeah.
And I was like, what a weird nickname.
Yeah. Jerry talks like this.
Oh, as in droning. I was thinking she was like a remote control plane with a camera attached.
No, that's not what I meant.
Or that she was bombing women and children.
No, not that either. I didn't even say that. I said Jerry Jerome.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay. You feeling all right today?
Yes. You?
How was your sleep?
You know, dude, I have all but stopped drinking lately.
Oh, yeah?
Lately.
Okay.
And so I'm sleeping like a champ.
Yeah, and waking up like a champ, too, I imagine, right?
Makes a big difference.
Huge, especially at our age.
Yeah, I've only had the alcohol once in the past 2 weeks.
Wow.
And I'm sleeping so good, I'm kind of like, I mean, I'm not quitting drinking, let's be honest.
I mean, it doesn't sound like you need to.
No, but it just one day became two, became three, and I was sleeping like a champ.
Mm-hmm.
And this is after a couple of nights of bad sleep due to too much booze.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, that's kind of nice.
Yeah, you're like, oh, yeah, life is enjoyable. I forgot.
Yeah. So anyway.
I think it's super healthy to, and you and I have talked about this before, I think it's super healthy to do at least a month out of the year. Straight through, where you're just like, I'm not having a drop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
This is good for you.
Yeah, I had a couple of years ago, I went exactly 1 month without a single drink, and I still ate like crap, did not exercise, and I dropped like 13 pounds.
Oh, yeah?
Just from not consuming alcohol.
From beer?
No, I don't drink much beer.
That's right.
But, I mean, you know, gin and tonic, that's a ton of calories.
Yeah. I drink diet tonic when I have a gin and tonic. You get used to it. And there's good diet tonic out there. Like, you just have to treat yourself.
I guess so. I've never, diet tonic really tastes gross.
Like, the swill that they have in, like, the little liter bottles that's diet. That's,
yeah. Well, what's good? Like, the handmade brands?
Like Fever Tree? Yeah, like the crafted stuff.
Okay.
Like artisan tonic.
Yeah, tonic for rich people.
Yeah, tonic made by a guy whose mustache is waxed.
Well, I'll have to try that then.
I think you should. And yeah, it is expensive, but just don't drink 8 gin and tonics.
Yeah.
You know, or gins and tonic. What would William Sapphire say?
Gins and tonics.
Probably.
I told Emily the other day, I was like, I wish you could drink into your mouth and taste it and have a nice little effect afterward and have it just leak out a tube in the side of your body.
I think that's called like a stoma.
So you don't get the calories or the, you know, the lingering effects.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, it's probably good that you're not drinking.
You're like, no, really, let's flesh this out.
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be a way to do it. So,
anyway, long way of saying I'm sleeping great.
I'm glad. Have you, ever been falling asleep and, right as you were about to enter the land of slumber?
Sure.
Got your saw out, putting it to a log. You haven't started sawing yet, but you're about to, and then all of a sudden, boom! And you sit bolt upright, and you're like, what? What was that?
I don't think so.
I can tell you for a fact that's never happened to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's never happened to me, but unless I'm misremembering.
I just don't see how you could forget something like this. It seems pretty significant. You know what I mean?
I agree. So we're talking about exploding head syndrome, which before we started recording, you were angry. You weren't angry.
I'm always angry.
So not true. You were...
No, it is. I need help.
You were picking at the name of the syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very...
overblown?
Yeah, to say the least. Exploding head syndrome. What'd you say it should have been called?
Crazy sleepy like sound syndrome?
Sleepy head loud noise
right.
thing or something.
Or what syndrome? Or I'm trying to sleep, I got work in the morning syndrome. Stupid yeah. brain. I could do this for an hour.
Well, maybe we should.
Okay. Release it as a blooper reel.
So exploding head syndrome is a nighttime hallucination. Also, you can classify it as a parasomnia.
Yeah.
Did we do one specifically on sleep paralysis or just talk about it a lot?
No, and buddy, it deserves its own. I can't believe we haven't done it yet.
I know we talked a lot about it in
sleepwalking.
Sleepwalking and
transcranial magnetic stimulation.
Yeah, I think we did one on sleep, period, too, didn't we? Or did we?
I think so.
It's hard to recall.
But for the most part, we have skirted around it. And I think we should continue to because I think it definitely deserves its own episode.
So we should continue to skirt around it?
Yeah.
By not doing it?
No. I mean in this episode.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it deserves its own freestanding, standalone, vertically integrated episode.
Gotcha.
Called...
What's the deal with sleep paralysis?
You got it.
So this is a nighttime hallucination, or a parasomnia, like I said, mm-hmm. of which sleep paralysis is as well.
Shh.
That's all I'm going to say.
Don't give it away.
And here's the deal. Like you described, you're either already asleep or I think a little more typically falling asleep.
Yeah.
And you hear a loud, loud booming sound like a gun or an explosion.
Cymbals crashing.
That's a good one.
Something that catches your attention.
What else? Falling down the steps, a big person carrying a drum set falling down the steps.
Right? One of those one-man bands falling down some stairs.
Totally.
Which everybody wants to see. Even if you don't have like a meme bone in your body, you still kind of want to see something like that.
Just to see how it sounds.
That was crazy. Yeah.
It might play a little tune. You never know. On the way down. Yakety sax.
Right?
So it's a genuine disorder. And I did a little... Facebook survey.
Yeah, hats off to you, man. You're basically a citizen scientist now. were the respondents all weird?
No.
Were they weird?
Stuff you should know follower, so they're... Oh, I know what you mean. The acronym weird.
Right. Well, I meant it both ways.
Okay. They were neither.
No, we have like a very wide demographic. It's great.
Yeah, it is good. And basically, I just said... Has anyone ever been afflicted with exploding head syndrome?
Mm-hmm.
Then I explained it because a lot of people, as we'll find, like responded with, oh my God, that's a thing. Yes, I have it.
That's really cool. That showed up in one of the articles we researched.
Yeah. And I got about 150 by the time I cut it off respondents
wow.
that said yes. And about,
wait a minute.
Huh?
You got 150 yes responses to whether or not...
150 total responses, okay. including like comments on responses.
Uh-huh.
And I would guess probably 100 of those were affirmatives.
That's amazing.
And about 70% of those are women.
Did you notice how much reach that post got? Can you figure out like roughly what percentage of people who saw that responded?
Well, we could, but I did not take the time.
Okay. Still, it's an amazing response.
Yeah, I mean,
hats
I've got
off to you.
A lot of well, it really wasn't that hard.
But I think it's neat. It shows a lot of initiative.
It is neat. I got a lot of responses. Meredith said it used to happen a lot, but now not so much. It's even worse when the baby is sleeping. Interesting. Oh, because she's worried that the baby's falling out of the bed.
Mm.
Caitlin, it happened only once. Yes, I have it frequently from Melissa.
Man, this is so bizarre.
Lauren said, I tried to explain it to my family, and they thought I was crazy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's more of a distant exploding noise for me, though. It doesn't startle. So that may not be it. And a few of these...
That might be the mining operation off the edge of the county.
Sue, yes, it sounds like a gunshot. No pain or anything like that, but it is startling. Most people in here, crack of a baseball bat hitting a ball.
Wow.
From Christiane.
Yeah, you're right. They are mostly women, huh?
Yeah, I mean, there's dudes in here, too. I'm just not reading those.
You're ignoring them?
Here's a guy. Adam, not exactly. Jonathan, yes, I live near a train. All right, guys, let's... Jeffrey, yes, I have it. Thought there was something seriously wrong with me, but then I heard the term on a radio story, and I realized what was happening. It's a huge relief.
So what all these people are saying, and this is astounding, right?
Like, it is.
What you're reading directly reflects what we found in our research for this article, right? That has been published here, there, very scattershot in medical journals. And look for Chuck's study, by the way, in The Lancet this fall. that this is the pattern, this is the description or the experience of exploding head syndrome.
Yeah, no pain.
No.
Nothing more than an inconvenience, really, other than, I guess, it could, like, trigger a heart attack.
Yeah, and that's one of the associated symptoms. So you're falling asleep, you're almost about to sleep, suddenly there's a very loud, sharp noise.
Yeah, in your head.
Yeah, but it's just in your head, but it wakes you, arouses you very suddenly, and usually scares the bejesus out of you.
Sure.
So tachycardia, or very fast or irregular heartbeat, is one of the reported symptoms.
Yeah.
Of exploding head syndrome.
Yeah, they can, it can go on a bunch of nights in a row. It can be very sporadic. It can happen
once.
Yeah, once and never happen again. And
yeah,
I think
one
someone
of those
said that.
Yeah. It's so, just amazing.
Yeah, and it's unusual that, a few people said it happened to me when I was a kid, because it seems like it does not happen that often with children.
No, there's,
but it can.
At least one reported case of a 10-year-old, but apparently it mostly seems to onset in the 50s, a person's 50s.
Yeah.
And that women tend to be at a higher risk for it, as your findings suggest.
Yeah, and I did not, I didn't, like, be a creep and try and determine how old these people were.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't like, oh, this dude looks like he's 40-ish. This lady's got to be 60.
Gotcha.
Just left that one alone, you know?
I thought you were going to say, like, you weren't going to be a creep by being like, you smell nice to, like, every response.
No. This guy, I can't tell, because he just has an avatar of a Mortal Kombat character.
Yeah. Which means he's, like, 40.
Oh. Ouch. Should we take a break?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Hey everybody, Chuck here. Are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals.
Yeah, but you can drink water as clean as nature intended with Richard's Rainwater.
That's right. Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain. Richard's Rainwater is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants that are commonly found in groundwater.
And since rain is naturally pure, there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means Richard's Rainwater contains no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Just pure drops of rain.
That's right. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Perfect for sipping or mixing into your favorite cocktail. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. Enjoy pure, refreshing rainwater. Sip the sky. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friends' money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
All right, where does all this come from, sir?
It comes from your head.
Where was this first described, sir?
Back in the, I think, 1870s.
Yeah, 1876.
There's a guy for, stand by for the most 1870s name you'll hear today, Silas Weir Mitchell.
Yeah.
And he was a physician who apparently was a magnet for exploding head syndrome.
Oh, really?
Well, he described several cases of among his patients.
Yeah.
And he was, as far as anyone knows, the first in the medical literature to describe exploding head syndrome. He didn't call it that, though. He called them sensory discharges. But what he described was clearly what we now understand as exploding head syndrome.
Yeah, he had one patient called Mr. V. That's who he called it. It? Him?
Right, the guy's real name was Mr. V, spelled V-E-E, but he abbreviated as Mr. V.
He said he experienced a, quote, sense of a pistol shot or a blow on the head, end quote.
Man.
And he complained of a noise in my head, which is sometimes like the sound of a bell, which has been struck once, or else I hear a loud noise, which is most like that of a guitar string, rudely struck, which breaks with a twang.
Mm-hmm.
And I presume he did not live above a folk singing cafe.
Man. You know what you do when you live above one of those. You move.
Yeah. So, like you said, Silas went on to say it's a snapping of the brain. Then a little bit later, and, well, not a little bit, 1988, that's a lot of it, a neurologist from the UK named John M.S. Pierce of the Hull Royal Infirmary.
Man, that is super British.
And in The Lancet,
yeah,
one of the great medical journals, he is the one, I believe, that gave it its name, correct?
Yeah, we can really lay the misunderstanding at this guy's feet.
For giving it this awesome name.
Yeah. He was like, I'm going to celebrate finishing this paper and naming it Exploding Head Syndrome by watching Miami Vice. That was still on in 1988, wasn't it?
I don't know. Did you watch that?
Sometimes. It was a little old for me.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I was like, man, that boat is so fast.
Right.
Man, that guy's blazer's so pastel. Yeah. That was about the extent of Miami Vice for me.
Yeah, that was kind of the extent of the show.
Was it?
No, it was good. I watched it.
It was Michael Mann, wasn't it? Like, Michael Mann movie every week. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think he got it going and then
stayed
executive producer. Although I might be wrong. I don't know.
Who knows?
I think he did the movie version, too, like the remake years later.
Surely he did.
Which I did not see.
I mean, it's got him written all over it. I think that was his best one.
Ooh, yeah. Good movie.
Although, did he do To Live and Die in L.A.?
I don't know. I love that movie, though.
Yeah. If he didn't, he should have. But that's a great movie.
I think that might have been him. You're correct.
I'm sorry, Chuck. I know that this is a tangent. I'm trying to avoid it, but I just can't let it stand. I think that Michael Mann accused whoever did To Live and Die in L.A. of ripping him off somehow.
What?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I'm pretty sure, which means not necessarily.
Well, I had a great theme song. I know that.
Yeah. Wang Chung, baby.
Yep.
They were one of those bands from the 80s where you're like, oh, these guys were actually way more talented than their decade gave them credit for.
It was not Michael Mann.
Okay, so Michael Mann accused whoever did that of ripping him off for some reason.
William Friedkin.
Didn't he direct the Exorcist?
Yeah.
Wow. So man, he's all over the place.
He's got some cojones to go after Billy Friedkin.
Sure.
How did we get on that? Miami Vice?
Yep.
1988.
Yep.
So let's go over some stats. There was a study in 2015 of, talk about bad studies, 211 college students.
Okay. So your study already trumps this one.
Sort of.
Not even sort of. I would say legitimately the study you conducted is better than the one you're about to talk about.
18% of people experienced it, according to this survey, but most experts say that's probably high because these are college students. They don't get a lot of sleep.
Right.
And that can affect, you know, whether or not you have this disorder or think you have it.
Yeah, people who are sleep deprived are more likely to have it, I think.
Yeah. Psychiatric patients tend to have it a little more. 13 and more if you're talking about 10%, which is, I think, what generally people have settled on.
You know, yeah, but just a little more, like 3% more, 4% more than the average healthy
more.
Population.
Yeah.
You know something I thought was very weird that I saw? People with other sleep disorders have it less frequently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. About 10% of people with sleep disorders have exploding head syndrome, but like 10.8% of the general healthy population has it.
So if you suffer from the one that we dare not speak its name, then you are less likely to have this.
I guess so, but apparently it does happen in conjunction frequently.
Interesting.
Just not as frequently as people in the general population who have just exploding head syndrome.
Gotcha. What else? There's, some people describe a physical sensation as well, like an electrical shock of sorts.
Yeah, we should say, I don't know if we said it really explicitly enough. Like when you have this sound that wakes you up as you're about to fall asleep.
Yeah.
And it is very clearly the sound of an explosion or cymbals crashing or a gunshot. Like again, you're not, there's no associated pain.
Right.
Like, most frequently, the only physical symptom is your heart pounding because you're scared to death.
It would just be like if someone came in with cymbals in your bedroom and smashed them together.
But
you would wake up and say, you're a jerk.
Right.
But you wouldn't be in pain.
Go back to bed, Stanley. But I think, like, there's not even the attendant, like, pain in your ears.
Right.
I think it's strictly in your head.
Yeah, yeah, I think
so. There's,
right.
Almost no physical sensation, except for, the electrical thing you're about to mention.
The electrical shock.
Right.
Just that.
Yeah.
And that's only in some people, and it's literally just a feeling of a current that starts at your torso or so. And torso or so?
Yeah.
I didn't even mean that. And it travels up to the head. But again, not everyone experiences that. So I think it's the interesting part of this. I mean, that's interesting, but is where this possibly comes from and like the process of going to sleep.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, Chuck here. Are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals.
Yeah, but you can drink water as clean as nature intended with Richard's Rainwater.
That's right. Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain. Richard's Rainwater is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants that are commonly found in groundwater.
And since rain is naturally pure, there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means Richard's Rainwater contains no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Just pure drops of rain.
That's right. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Perfect for sipping or mixing into your favorite cocktail. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. Enjoy pure, refreshing rainwater. Sip the sky. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
All right, friendo, we definitely, I think, did a show on sleep, but as a recap...
We did. You're right. It must not have been very memorable.
When you go to sleep, it's not an instantaneous thing, as you likely know. You fall asleep, and they call it that for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's a process.
Yeah, that's true.
Of your body kind of shutting down the
systems. I never really thought about that before, but that's a pretty accurate description.
Yeah. Otherwise, they would call it...
Lights out.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Finding yourself asleep? I don't know. That's probably not right either. Or just becoming sleep?
Yeah. Or sleep.
Insta-sleep? Are we doing good on this one?
Not so much.
All right.
No, we are. We're fine. We're getting the facts out. We're just in cloaking them with a lot of BS.
Okay. That's fine. All right. So when you fall asleep, your body slowly shuts down. And the brain is kind of closing down each little store.
Yeah.
If it's let's say your brain is a small town.
Okay.
It's closing each store.
Your brain is Sam the Night Watchman from today's special. It's walking around, shutting lights out.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
Do you remember that show?
No.
It was probably way too young for you.
It's called Today's Special?
Mm-hmm.
Kid show?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the idea that every day is special?
There was like a mannequin that came alive and it was weird.
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare.
It was set at night. In, like, a department store, I think.
Oh, okay.
So I guess today's special might have been, like, what was on sale.
Gotcha.
Oh, I was kind
of
young.
That reminds me of my favorite book as a child that I read, The Great Christmas Kidnapping Caper.
Well, I never read that one.
It was wonderful. It was about three mice in New York City that broke into Macy's department store and lived there.
Nice.
And had great adventures in the department store overnight. And Santa was kidnapped, and it's up to these mice to solve the crime.
Oh, wow.
And it was my first, like, book. You know, it wasn't a 10-page picture book.
Right.
It was a book. And the first one I really read and was like, wow, this is amazing.
Were the mice up to the challenge?
Now, what do you think?
I don't know.
No, Santa died.
Right.
I totally forgot about that book. What a great memory.
Yeah.
That's why I'm glowing right now.
And you can enjoy it because you've been off the sauce for a little while. You've been getting good sleep.
I'm lucid. So when you are making that transition into sleep from being awake, your brain is closing down the little shop stores one at a time. And when you have exploding EHS, there's something that happens. There's a glitch in the matrix, essentially, where somewhere along that path of your brain walking around shutting it down,
right,
it just sort of trips up.
Yeah. So the part of your brain that is responsible for shutting things down bit by bit, region by region, it's called the brainstem reticular formation.
Yes.
Very ancient part of your brain, right? And they think that something goes wrong, like you're saying, when it's going through its duties and there's a glitch.
Yeah.
But the glitch that happens is the alpha waves that are associated with the beginning of relaxing for sleep,
yeah,
are
good stuff.
Are suppressed,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly there's a huge burst of neural activity in the region associated with hearing.
Right.
So your brain has a glitch. Your brainstem has a glitch while it's shutting your brain down for sleep.
Yeah.
And you hallucinate a very loud sound that startles you awake.
Yeah.
That's exploding head syndrome, right?
Yeah.
As
and
far
again,
as they know.
Hallucinatory.
Total hallucination. It doesn't exist. It's the neurons in your, in the region associated with hearing going haywire.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It is. What's crazy to me though, Chuck, is that it's a glitch in your system, but that it can happen in different people. It's not like one person has like a malfunctioning part of their brainstem. Like that process can malfunction in exactly the same way across people.
Yeah.
It says something about the architecture of the brain. What it says, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it surely says something that glitch can happen in different people in the same way. I just think that's fascinating.
It totally is. And that theory that we talked about is, well, first of all, they don't know for sure because it's so rare. And it's such a it's invasive, but it's not threatening.
Yeah.
That they you don't spend a lot of time studying stuff like this if it's not super threatening.
No, but they used to think it's rare. They don't necessarily know if it's rare any longer.
Right.
It's just it hasn't been studied for like there's been basically four, five papers on it.
So no one cares.
Apparently not, because it's not life-threatening at all.
Yeah.
It's not even harmful. It's a benign condition. It's just very surprising. And apparently people learn to live with it, at least ones on Facebook.
Oh, no. They all said they're in living hell.
Oh, yeah.
So that theory is the one that is most agreed upon right now. But some of the others over the years include a shift of the middle ear components.
Wrong.
Or an ear dysfunction, maybe, at the root.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
No. They've done EEG testing to rule out, which did rule out, temporal lobe seizures.
Mm-hmm. Epilepsy.
Yeah, but not the case.
No.
And what's another one? There was one more, it could be a side effect of drugs, right?
Yeah, drug withdrawal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Specifically, benzodiazepines.
Or it could have to do with, calcium ion channels.
Right.
And calcium ion transportation, which, I think we've talked about it before, like calcium does a lot of stuff in our brains.
Yeah.
And throughout our bodies. I think that that's not necessarily discarded. That could be the mechanism that it happens by.
So it's on the table?
Yeah. Gotcha. For me.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of that one. I don't think that they're mutually exclusive, the reticular formation and calcium ions could go hand in hand.
Yeah, you know what's funny to me? I was thinking about when I was prepping for this, how whenever there's usually a medical podcast where there's different theories,
mm-hmm.
you and I are always like, well, this is the one I got my money on this one.
Right.
And it's just armchair, you know, doctoring, of course.
Well, sure.
But
I feel like I could heal somebody if I really try.
Faith.
Just through my opinion.
Yeah.
So what do you do if, you have this?
Well, one of the funny things, in the Atlantic article, which I sent, and in our own article, they said, quite often, simply being diagnosed and told by your doctor, yes, you have exploding head syndrome, and no, it will not hurt you at all.
At all.
Can cease the exploding head syndrome.
Yeah, people will go into remission.
Which indicates to me that stress has something to do with it.
Yeah, I could definitely see how if you worry about it, it could affect your sleep, and then once your sleep is affected, you're more prone to keep having it.
Yeah, the cycle.
A lot of people who this happens to mistake it for a stroke,
right,
or that they've developed epilepsy or something like that,
uh-huh,
and so they will go get they will seek out medical help for that.
Yeah.
And hopefully the doctor has heard of exploding head syndrome and can recognize the symptoms.
Yeah, or at the very least, you can self-diagnose and take that to your doctor, because they love that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, tell them you Googled it.
Mm-hmm. Like when he starts to talk, just be like, shh. Doctors love that.
It is also not to be confused with PTSD, something we did I thought it was a really good show, actually.
I want to say when he or she starts to talk.
Sure.
Say, shh.
Yeah. Remember the PTSD?
Yeah, episode? Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one. And, it's not to be confused with that, even though similar things can happen with PTSD. It's usually some kind of a flashback, and with exploding head, it's not associated with anything like that.
And it's just a straight up hallucination. There's no memory associated with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But what they will say is sleep hygiene. Work on it.
Yeah. Brush your teeth while you sleep.
No.
I think hygiene's one of the most disgusting words in the English language.
Interestingly, it is gross, even though that means...
It's like paradoxical to its meaning.
Yeah.
The word itself, sound, the feel of it, the look of it.
I totally agree.
Gross word.
Hygiene sounds... I think because when I hear hygiene, I think you're usually hearing it because there's poor hygiene.
Maybe.
People, you know, you say like, oh, you got some good hygiene going on.
Yeah.
You smell wonderful.
I always think of it as in relation to like eugenics. You know, like that kind of thought pattern.
Yeah.
Hygiene, you know?
So sleep hygiene is a weird, gross way of saying, best practices to fall asleep.
Sure.
And that means, a regular schedule, you know,
sleep
all the
schedule.
Usual stuff.
Yeah. Like
draw the blinds,
mm-hmm,
make it quiet.
And this one, not reading in bed. That one to me, it's like, no, if I read in bed, it's like, I might as well just taken a handful of Valium.
Well, reading a book, sure, but a screen has been shown to keep you awake.
Well, some recommendations are that you don't even read books in bed, that you train yourself to associate bed with just sleep.
No, man,
so
I'm
that
with
when you.
You
get into
I
bed,
read a book and I'm
you're
done.
Just, you're like, well, I'm sleeping. Yeah. Not for all people, though. Like, if you have bad insomnia, they'll recommend you don't do anything but sleep in bed.
Yeah, I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
Like, they say take the TV out of your room.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah, but no, I'd be like, you're a fool. I can just read a book instead. I will never have insomnia because as long as
there are books,
bound books are around, I'm good.
What always kills me is when I see friends on Facebook, like 3 a.m., total insomnia. I'm like, put your phone down.
Yeah.
You're being counterproductive.
Because it's not just keeping your brain engaged in thinking.
Yeah.
Apparently that blue spectrum light really does something to your brain.
Yeah.
And it's not good.
No. What else? No booze or coffee after 5?
Yeah, only booze before 5.
Yeah, I was like, that's happy hour.
I think they were saying... Yeah.
Say no booze after 5.
I mean, if you got a parasomnia, you didn't go to great lengths. You're going to skip happy hour, maybe, to get some sleep.
Do we have anything else in here?
We do not.
All right.
I think that's so great that you conducted a study. Hats off to you.
I think it's funny that you thought that was so great.
I'm just impressed.
All right.
If you want to know more about parasomnias like exploding head syndrome, you can type those words in the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And since I said that, it's time for listener mail.
So instead of listener mail, I conducted another study. Just kidding. All right, I thought this is really neat. This is Chernobyl. Hey guys, thanks for the fantastic podcast on radiation sickness. And for talking a bit about the Chernobyl disaster, it really captured my imagination. As a little girl, I remember one of my primary school teachers telling the class the disaster would mean the end of life as we know it, and it terrified me. Anyway, as the years went by, my interest grew, and back in 2013, I finally took the plunge and booked myself a trip to Kiev to go and visit the disaster site.
Wow.
And she said something about, I had to edit this because it was long, it was good. But something about how, you know, I know that probably sounds weird as a vacation, but she said,
I mean, if
I'm
you're
a
really,
little like,
if you're into it, that's an
that
awesome
way.
Vacation.
The exclusion zone around Chernobyl is about 10 miles in each direction. It's largely deserted, although I was surprised to find that there are still people living and working there. The nearby town of Pripyat is completely abandoned and very eerie, to say the least. We spent the day carefully walking on concrete and trying not to touch any of the moss growing between the concrete, because it's highly radioactive.
Mm.
I'd be a little concerned as a visit.
Oh, yeah.
As a visitor.
It's an extremely dangerous visit.
We were able to get surprisingly close to the destroyed site as well. It was a very somber experience. There were a couple of very unnerving things that I learned that day that have stuck with me. The government of the then USSR tried to cover up the accident, didn't tell the people of Pripyat that they needed to evacuate for 2 whole days, inevitably causing many more deaths from radiation sickness than the inevitable. There were several reactors at Chernobyl. Reactor 4 blew up. Reactor 4 was right next to Reactor 3, which they thought was going to blow up. Had Reactor 3 blown up, it really would have been the end of life as we know it. Europe would have become completely uninhabitable. We all owe our lives to the unsung heroes who sacrificed themselves to save Reactor 3 and save Europe.
Wow.
Much love. That is Kate, Nottingham, England. And Kate is coming to see us in Manchester.
Awesome, Kate. Thanks a lot for that email. That's a really cool vacation.
Yeah, she took her mom, and sent photos and had a lot more to the email. Super interesting.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, Kate. And if you want to get in touch with us like Kate did, let us know about your super cool vacation. You can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Instagram, too, at the same handle. You can hang out with us on Facebook.com, participate in our studies that Chuck conducts at Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. You can send us an email to StuffPodcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And as always, join us at our home on the web, StuffYouShouldKnow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, everybody, are you thirsty? Well, sip on pure, refreshing Richard's Rainwater. Yes, it's really rain, caught clean before it hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's Rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's Still Rainwater or the long-lasting and cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's Sparkling Rainwater. Visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. Sip the sky. The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.